Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, December 3rd, 2023. Pastor Paul Talbert.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
It says, well, this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing a letter to the congregation in a city called Corinth. It's in the first century. And the reason why he's writing a letter is they have some questions. People don't like the authority that the pastor has over them. They don't like the authority that the Roman government has over them. They're having a hard time getting along with each other. And they sure don't know what's going on with the Lord's Supper. So the Holy Spirit tells the Apostle Paul, pick up your pen and write a letter so that I can help my family of faith in the city of Corinth. And we call that 1 Corinthians. It's jam-packed full of good news. He starts out the letter, already in verse 3, it says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace. He starts off, grace and peace. He starts off not saying, you bunch of idiots, how come you're fighting with each other? He doesn't start off by saying, how come you're bucking the authority that guy that I put over you? He doesn't do that. He starts off by saying, I am God, the Father who loves you, grace and peace. Grace and peace. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. Wow. So the Almighty God who created everything in heaven and earth, he wants us to know his primary concern is that we understand his love for us. I don't deserve it. I'm sure not earning it. But he says, I'm going to give it to you anyway. That's what grace is. Grace is when you show love to someone who doesn't love you, doesn't show that they love you 100% all the time. You sometimes see a little bit of how grace is when you see spouses interact with each other. Sometimes you see a little bit of how grace is when you see children and parents and how they interact, but even that is flawed by sin. God has no sin. He loves us uncontrollably, head over heels in love with us. And that's what grace is. And because of that grace, there's no war. God stopped fighting us. How did that happen? It says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is how that happened. Jesus came and he lived for us and he died for us and he came back to life again for us. And that is what gives us this incredible peace that we have. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus, for in him you've been enriched in every way, in all your speaking, all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. So he's writing to people who are waiting for the Lord to come, and they're not just like, oh, how come he's taking so long? They get up like you would get up on a Sunday morning to come to church to worship him. Why? Because God's promised to be here in a different way, a special way among his people. What did Jesus say? Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I let my confirmation classes always know that whenever I'm teaching, in my head, I always have in my mind that Jesus is walking in the back, and he's walking over, looking over, and he's listening to how I'm teaching his children. So yes, I do imagine that. And yes, it does make me nervous. And I normally am wearing a robe, so you can't see my knees shaking, but my robe has to be cleaned, so it's out there somewhere. It's an awesome thing to speak God's words to God's people, knowing that God is here, and he wants you to understand what he says. Ah, what a great God we serve. And he says, he will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end. We aren't very strong. Very rarely will you come to a Christian who will get to a place where he's so trusting with you that he will say, I don't feel very strong. I don't feel like I got a strong faith. When that happens, and if that happens with you, remember these words. It's not about what I do. It's not about working up feelings. It's not about coming to church extra times. It's not about being there to decorate things when everything's all decorating. That's not what it's about. It says, he will keep you strong to the end. This is a God thing from beginning to end. Think back. God created faith in me through the act of baptism, where God connected his gospel of forgiveness to plain water, and somebody else, without me asking, put water on my head and said, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you. God chose to use that moment to get me into his family of faith. Then with the word of God, God kept that faith alive. And yes, there's been big times, strong times, and very weak times. But God has kept that alive because God's word works. It says, he will keep you strong to the end. That lets you know there's an end coming. You will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blameless. What does that mean? That means when Satan lifts up his finger and he says, ah, I saw what you did. Oh, I heard that thought that you were hiding from everybody else. I saw that. When he lifts up his finger to accuse us, the Lord will slap it down and he'll say, excuse me, this is my son, this is my daughter. They're part of my family of faith. My son entered the world to rescue them. My son lived and died on a cross for them and removed their sin, and they stand before my throne of grace free, fully forgiven. You don't ever raise your finger of accusation against my child, Satan. We are blameless. Blameless. There's a part in the book of Revelation, that vision book, where it says that the book was opened. And everything that we've done is there for everyone to see. And for the longest time, all the way through high school, I was kind of dreading that day. I was nice to be home in heaven, but I didn't really want to be embarrassed by all those times I kind of did those sticking out my tongue at my mom and dad and disobeying the speed limit, even though I shouldn't disobey the speed limit, and all those acts of rebellion. And thankfully, I had a pastor who told me, you know what, it's in that book. All the things that you have done, and God says he only records the good things that he has done through Jesus Christ in your life. All the evil has been washed away. I'm looking forward to the last day. I'm going to find out what in the world Jesus was doing through me, because when I look at my life, I see all sorts of flaws. I try my hardest to live a perfect and holy life, and I don't. But God, for Jesus' sake, looks at my life and he washes me clean so that on the last day, if this is my last moment, if this is my last sermon to you, and I drop over dead right now, I'm going to be standing before my Lord absolutely pure. Because it's not about me. It's about what God is doing for me and through me with his word. It says, he will keep you strong to the end so that you'll be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who's called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. And right there, we had to pause for just a second. God has called us into fellowship. What in the world is fellowship? Fellowship is we have something in common. We are Christian. We have that common faith. We have a common bond because we know who Jesus is. We know what he did. And we know they did it for us. He took away our sins. And when we get together, that's a fellowship. And the Lord says that he calls us into this fellowship. What's the big deal about fellowship? I ran across this. It's kind of cool. A little piece of trivia that's just kind of awesome. There's a horse called a Belgian draft horse. Big old monster of a beast. Belgian draft horse can... he's even stronger than I am. A Belgian draft horse can pull 8,000 pounds. 8,000 pounds he can do. That's awesome. Way to go, horse. Good for you. How much can two Belgian draft horses pull? Well, let's see. Going back to when I was in school, 8,000 and 8,000. 8 and 8 is 16,000. 16,000, right? Wrong. Two Belgian draft horses, they've been growing up together, they learn how to work together, they know how to do things together. Two of them pull 22,000 pounds. Think on that. The Lord has called us into fellowship with himself and with one another. You're surrounded by Christians who can help you be strong whenever you're pulling some kind of a burden. And together, when you go to our Lord, my goodness gracious, there's nothing that you can't do because God, our Savior, loves us. God is faithful. You and I aren't, but God is. And that's how come this is a wonderful time of year to remember that and to tell people, hey, have we got some good news? We're going to church on Sunday. You want to come with us? We're going to church. We have a special Advent service. We're getting ready for somebody's birthday. That's quite a few days away. Oh, yeah. And we even celebrate his birthday after his birthday comes. Oh, really? Why? Because this is the most important person in all of history. And I know him personally. And he knows all about me, and he loves me anyway. And he loves you just like he loves me. And as they're scratching their heads, just say, that's what he says in his word. That's what he says. So for Jesus' sake, so let us live for him this week. Amen. And now may God's peace, which goes beyond all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.